Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
sweet memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, your word, Father. Because we know, Father, that as He speaks to us, that we get the truth of your word, Heavenly Father. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We stopped off last evening with verse 23 here in the 19th chapter of Acts. So we'll be picking up here with verse 24. Now, here in 24, starts out with, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Now we know that it's through that craft and these handmade idols that they do make their wealth. 26. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. 27. so that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed whom all Asia and the world worship it. Now, you see, this temple of the great goddess Diana, now her Greek name was Artemis, there at Ephesus, and was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. This false god was one of the seven wonders of the world in that day and time. Think about this. Now, he says the whole world worship, 28. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. See, and they had temples made of her, made for to worship her in. Now, 29. And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Artitius, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. 30. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. They didn't want him going in. Now, 31. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater, because everything was in an uproar. And they had his companions now. We can pretty well figure they're not going to come out of there untouched. But anyhow, now, 32. Some, therefore, cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. They didn't even know why they were in there together. 33. And they drew Alexandra out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with a hand and would have made his defense unto the people. 34. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And they started crying this out, just because they found out and knew that he was a Jew. So they figured he was one of Paul's converts preaching something else. So for about 2 hours, they cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. 35. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana? You see, they're proclaiming that this whole town worships Diana. Whether or not that is so, we don't really know, only according to what they are saying here. Because we do know they had other gods other than Diana. But she was supposed to be the goddess of love. Now, and of the image that fell down from Juniper, seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. He's letting them know they shouldn't do anything rashly. For you have brought hither these men which are neither robbers of churches nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. You see, the robbers of churches there in 37 should be translated as robbers of the temples. And Paul and his companions had not plundered the temple of Diana, where vast wealth was deposited. You see, there was great wealth in these temples, all given in Diana's name. This idol goddess. Now, wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are disputes or deputies, let them impede one another. In other words, let them take them to court. Let's stop all this writing, which is what they were doing. Now, 39, but if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. 40, for we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. You ain't gonna know. We can be called and held accountable for the uproar that we have caused without any cause for it. 41. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Now, we are at the end of chapter 19. We're going to be going in here to chapter 20. We're going to find here Paul still journeying. And after the uproar was ceased, they stopped everything now, Paul called unto him the disciples, and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. 2. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. He is now in Greece. Now, 3. And there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he proposed to return through Macedonia and there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater, a Berea, of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy and of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. You see, he's taken a lot with him there. You know, the men traveling with Paul at the end of this journey are probably those delegated by their churches. And they are to carry offerings for the collection which Paul taking to the needy Judean Christians. And we do know that Paul on his journey would take up and would take collections to carry back to churches that were in need. And they were quite a few of them that would come along because the churches were just being established, and with everything that was going on around them in that day and time, they had a hard time of doing anything, especially of gaining any type of wealth at all, because people just didn't want to be caught being followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then a lot of them that was really fired up against anything to do with them. Now, 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Now, they stayed there in Troas 7 days. In Luke there in 6, the author of this book, the Acts, rejoins Paul at Philippi because, as we read there, it's indicated by we. And we sailed away from Philippi. Now, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow and continue his speech until midnight. Now, you know, here in verse 7 of chapter 20, that this passage provides the clearest evidence that the New Testament churches assembled on the first day of the week. In fact, it was the primary service of the week. You see, they had services every day. Those churches were never really closed. You don't find that anywhere in the Word of God. But their primary service was on a Sunday. Paul stayed in Troas 1 full week. Then on Sunday, when disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. And he consistently preached on the Jewish Sabbath, because that was the day the Jews would gather in the synagogues. On Sunday, it would be virtually empty. But when Paul gathered, you know, for fellowship with the church, it was really on Sunday, as revealed here and in 1 Corinthians 16:2. Sunday was the day they received offerings, and Sunday was the day they observed the Lord's Supper. The teaching of the apostles agreed with this practice. Only once do the apostles mention the Sabbath in teaching its proper place. Several other times, reference is clearly made to the Sabbath. In each of these passages, Christians are urged not to allow Sabbath to become an issue. Because you see, under the New Testament, every day should be the Sabbath. But we are told, even in the New Testament, to bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse on the first day of the week, and that is Sunday. Now, normally Christians observe Sunday because of Christ's resurrection on Sunday and because of the early church example. Neither Saturday nor Sunday is, however, the Christian Sabbath. We worship a person, not a day. Every day is to be holy to the Lord. And remember the weekday to keep it holy. Every day is to be kept holy. Every day is to be used to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have our Bible study every day of the week of the morning and of the evening. I know that there are some out there that can't make the morning study. And there are some that can't make the evening study. But it does give them a chance to make one or the other. And right now, we have a lot of them out there that does join with us and listen. Now, we had finished there. With 19, and picked up with 20, chapter 20, and we're down here now to verse 8, and there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sank down with sleep and fell down from the third floor and was taken up dead. We call it stories now. First story, second story, third story. They called it lofts back then. He was in the third loft. Now, he was taken up dead. 10. Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. 11. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so they departed. Now, how would you like to set through services like that? We don't want to take even a full hour of service. We holler, actually, about 30 minutes of service, as far as the teaching goes. But here, we're seeing where they were times. Here, Paul was preaching until the break of day. And then he departed. 12. They brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. In other words, they were filled with joy that this young man had been raised from the dead and was alive now. Now, 13. And we went before to ship and sail unto Azotha, there intending to take in Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. He had walked there to where they took the shipping went to. But he had walked. So he'd walked around whatever body of water this was. 14. And when he met with us at Azotha, we took him in and came to Mytilene. 15. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chos. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trogyllium. And the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hastened, if it were possible, for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. He wanted to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. You know, these church leaders from Ephesus are called elders and overseers or bishops. Two names are given for one office, the former designating their character and the latter their responsibility to superintend. That's the way they were titled. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews. And we know that these Judaizers followed Paul all around everywhere and given him problems. 20. And he goes on and tells them, he says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. He's taught publicly and from house to house. 21, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 22, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He said, I'm going and I don't know what's going to be waiting for me there. But that's where he's really wanting to get to. The Spirit has got him bound to get there, as we read. 23. At 22, he says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. 23. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. He said, the Holy Ghost is saying, I'm going to be bound and afflictions is going to be with him. 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know, that verse right there is telling you and I some great things of how our walk should be. We should not fear anything that would keep us apart and away from the Lord Jesus Christ or from teaching the gospel and telling others about him and about the word and how to walk to make heaven our home, because our life should not really mean that much to you and I, because if it does, instead of making heaven our home, we're going to wind up making hell our home. We need to continually be looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of Almighty God and sharing with all that we can the word of God and trying to get them brought in to the Bible study, as we call it. Because you see, it is the word of God that will give you and I the way to walk and how to do the things that we need to do in order to be workers and servants of Almighty God and be pleasing unto him. And that should be everything that our life is about. And if it's not, and we go to putting other things before it and staying away from it for other things, we're in trouble. Now, 25. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. He's telling them, I know you'll not see my face anymore. 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. And the reason he's saying that is because he is teaching the truth of God's word. Now, what they do with it is between them and God. But by him doing what God has called him to do, their blood's not on his hands. But you see, when we don't do the things we are supposed to be doing and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ with others and sharing his word, then their blood could be on our hands. That's why I'm like I am. And all of you that know me know I walk around no subject or no one, because I'm going to give you the word as it is written in this holy book. And as the Spirit gives it to me as I speak. Now, we go on here now. 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. He's letting us know that now. 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You see, he's telling you there in 27 what I've just been telling you. 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. You see, God's church has been purchased with his blood. And it could require yours. But think about that. We don't look at things in the right way. We think, well, you know, I don't want to go. Well, I don't want to go because I want to be used here to do his work. But I do also know that if I do, he calls me on home, then I have gained. I'm not lost. I've gained. Now, he's warning us again here in 29, and he's warning the church. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And we are seeing that today. Actually, in more churches than not. They're drawing away God's people into these churches that are teaching contrary to the word of Almighty God, because they're there tickling ears and making people believe that they can continue to do just anything they want to do and just keep asking for forgiveness, and they can just continue doing the same old thing over and over. No, it will not work. Now, therefore, 31, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You see, we need to be walking among those that are truly born again children of Almighty God. Those that are sanctified. 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Now that he's not been envious of any of those things. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. And you see, that is why I have told you and let everyone know that I don't take pay for what I do for the Lord God. Because what I have, he gave to me. And I never could figure out how I could charge him for what he gave to me. Now, I'm not against those men that has big churches that don't have time to work. The church needs to take care of them. But they're not there to make wealthy men out of them. And to have the very best of everything. But that's what most are wanting. And that's why our churches are getting weaker and weaker and weaker by the day. 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You see, yes, we are to pay tithes, but then we also give offerings at times in order to be of help into his work. Tithes belongs to him. That's his money. That's his. And when we don't pay that, and we spend that, we spend his tithes, we are considered a robber and a thief in the eyes of God. Chapter 3 in Malachi tells you about it. Now, 36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Paul has now knelt down and prayed with all of them. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. We also know now there are more hardships coming to Paul that we will be getting into. We have now finished with chapter 20, and we will be stopping here. And God willing, we'll be picking up with chapter 21 this evening at 6 p.m. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the Holy Spirit, Father, that gives us salvation, that gives us power to do the work that you would call upon us to do, and the knowledge that we need in order to be your children and to be your servant. Now, Father, be with each and every one of us through this day. And use each one of us to speak to at least one more today about the Lord Jesus Christ and about Bible study. Now, Father, We pray for Jerusalem and Israel, peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we're praying that they will come out from the Mosaic law, Father, and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And Father, one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that is filled with so much evil, a land that was greatly blessed and has walked away because of a handful of evil people sitting in our government, bringing evil things against and upon our people. And Father, we are partly to blame for that also, because we allow them to stay in office. Now, Father, I pray that you help us to remove them from office, to replace them with your children, those that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, love the church, love your people, and love this country, and will work with us to put our government back on the foundation that it was founded and built upon, and that being the Lord Jesus Christ and your word. Father, I'm praying now, Father, for those that are close to this ministry, that are part of it. Brother Kenny Powers, Brother Dennis Lee, Brother James Taylor, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy's son Jacob, myself, for Bobby and Millie Johnson. Father, keep us all in health and keep us safe. And use us all in mighty and great ways. This young couple, Courtney and Shane, Holy Spirit, continue to work with them. Don't give up on them. And help to bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that they too, Father, change their lives and make heaven their home. And Father, be with us throughout this day. Keep us all safe. And bring us together again this evening at 6 p.m. This, Father, is my prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Have a great day, everyone. Walk with God, and He'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.